Hello and welcome to the first ever Dials Square podcast led by Adam Harvey and Chris Turpin. That is myself. I'll come to you, Adam. How excited are you to be joining this podcast as a co-host?
Yeah, really excited. Obviously, a new venture for us, and we're looking forward to speaking to everyone who's associated with Dials Square.
We are indeed. I'm really excited, and all of us around the club are really excited about the hopes of this season. And that hope is based to a very good appointment of a new manager. Isn't it, Adam?
It is indeed, and we're speaking to him right now. Hello, Simon, how are you?
Yeah, hello, Adam. Hello, Chris. Good to meet you guys. And yeah, thanks for getting me involved today.
No worries. Thanks for coming on, Simon. It's a pleasure. Before we start, as a manager, who do you want to be called today? Do you want to be called Gaffer? Do you want to be called Simon? What do the players call you?
They call me the Gaffer, but yeah, to you guys, Simon is, that's more than fine.
Brilliant. We'll go for Simon then. So, we're going to discuss here about your background growing up, like in football, move on to your playing days, playing for the non-league during this podcast, and then thinking more about your manager past as well as present, looking at Dials Square. So we're starting off with your backgrounds growing up. Were you part of a family or so?
So, yeah. Obviously, I have got three sisters. So, yeah, mum and dad. My dad and mum split up when I was quite young, but my mum remarried, so I had three sisters with that. Yeah, I'd say more my dad was a driving force of football, and I think pretty much ever since I was walking, I was thrown into some sort of team, whether it would be goalkeeper, defender, wherever I fitted in, I think he got me in there. So yeah, pretty much been involved in football since 5 or 6 years old, and to him.
So loads of different positions. Then when did you settle down then? When did you find a position for yourself?
So yeah, when I was younger, I was more of a winger. So played mainly on the right wing, then ventured into the middle and also right back as I got older, just sort of like legs and my brain got a bit better. So I just felt I'd get on the ball a lot more at right back than sometimes just chasing dead balls over the top on the right wing. So yeah, just conserved my energy and got on the ball a lot more in that position, really.
Brilliant. We'll come to playing in non-league in a bit, but going back to the early days then, would you have had a football team your dad made you support, or did you change your minds?
So, yeah, I did change. I was Brentford, a lot of my youth. My dad used to take me up to games midweek, weekends. So, obviously, when you're younger, you mainly play on a Sunday. So, I was always Brentford. And then actually one of my dad's friends, sort of around nine, I want to say, took me up to Stamford Bridge for a big game. And to be honest, there was no turning back. As soon as I hit that sort of big theatre and watched them play, yeah, I just fell in love with it from there. But even though Brentford would always have a place in my heart, Chelsea become my team from that day. I think he was gutted he let his friend take me there. But he's learned to live with it now.
Big mistake indeed. Well, Brentford are in the Premier League this season, So you'll be able to see them both. Chelsea fan as the manager off Dials Square. What about now, though? You got some children? Are you married as well? Got a partner?
Yeah, so married with two boys. One of five, just turned 5 in June, and one's 10 months this week, actually. So, yeah, pretty full on at home, especially Brilliant. The last year and a half, yeah.
So juggling all of that around with not only a manager of a football club, but also working as well.
Yeah, working. Never had the fortune of being furloughed yet. So, worked all the way through. Obviously, football's been sort of stop-start really the whole time. But yeah, tried to be positive and carry on all the way through it when we could.
So what job's that?
So yeah, do aircraft engineering. So fabrication, sheet metal. In Farnborough. So just off Farnborough Airport, we've got like a workshop, yeah.
So you kind of spoke about positions when you were growing up. So when you sort of ventured into the non-league, what position did you play in and where did you start?
So yeah, when I was at a club called Chobham and also played for Wolverhampton and a club that's not actually around anymore, Woking and Horsell. I played more as a right winger for them clubs. And then as I got higher, I played for Shearwater, Frimley Green. I sort of came into a bit more of a right back role, mainly to be honest, just to get myself into the team. Sort of saw there was like a weak position there. So yeah, and I knew I could drop in and play there and sometimes play centre half as well. So yeah, I became more of a defender at a higher level and then at a lower level, more of a forward. Yeah, just because of the different standards, really.
What's your sort of favourite memory from the playing days? Is there sort of a moment that sticks out?
When we was at Shearwater, we got to go over to Guernsey for the weekend. Played in front of about, off the top of my head, I think it was about 1,400, which was pretty special for a level where you normally play in front of 60 to 100, to then play in front of over 1,000 to nearly 1,500 was, yeah, good weekend. We didn't win, but yeah, obviously they had to start at the bottom, a bit like what we're having to. So yeah, it was great. That was a great weekend, one that sticks out.
Was there sort of a point in your playing career where you thought, I actually want to become a manager or sort of on a coaching team of a football club?
Yeah, when I played, not necessarily at the higher levels I played at, but whenever I played at the lower levels, I always would land up after a season or two become captain. So I think I was always naturally a leader or was in the manager's ear maybe for ideas. And yeah, always sort of landed up being a captain. So always got on the player's side. And yeah, I just think I had that side to me where I could sort of see a good player when I played oppositions. I'd be in the manager's ear to, you know, maybe getting to their player to get him signed up. And yeah, it just sort of come naturally for me when I did make the switch over. So I did make the switch at quite a young age. So in regards to playing wise, so I think it was always in my head that I wanted to go down that route when I stopped playing.
You just said, obviously, you switched at quite a young age there. So how was that process moving from being on the pitch to sort of on the pitch side, you know, barking orders at players from whether that be a managerial position or an assistant's position?
Yeah, at the start, it was hard. You know, when you bring your boots and you're just standing on the sideline to when you smell that fresh grass, you know, and everyone's getting changed and the music's going in the change room and then you're not going out to play. But then you get the other side of it where you can get a bloke from London playing with a bloke from Woking and then they become like best mates and you sort of build that. You build them relationships and it makes you get over it. And it when you have a good changing room and a good team spirit and it's something you've built from a load of strangers put together, yeah, it's really rewarding. So it's quite easy to get over the playing side when you see that, but it takes time.
When did your first sort of actual sort of managerial role begin and whereabouts was it? Kind of like you sort of spoke about you've had some assistant roles in the past. Was it sort of you sort of had to build your way up to sort of the managerial role at a club?
Yes and no. So I stopped playing when I was at Shearwater. I just had one of them games and then I think we were away at AFC Hayes and I just got in the car and I was just like, don't know, I just thought I was done at this level, but I didn't want to go back down to that level once you'd already been there and then you sort of work your way up. Not that it was a massive level. I didn't want to then go back down to park football. So I actually, my local team at the time, like I say, they folded now, was Woking Park and Horsall. So I just thought, I'll just get a mates team together, have a laugh on a Saturday, a couple of beers. Yeah, so I took over their reserves because they were struggling. And it sort of just came from there, really. I wasn't there long. My friend Phil Ruggles, he was at Knapphill first team and the reserves were playing in the Suburban League and he phoned me up. They were struggling. They could hardly get a team out. It was a massive step at the time because obviously went into it just to have a bit of a laugh where Knapphill was a lot more serious, a lot more travelling. I don't know if you guys know the Suburban League. There's some good reserve teams in that from like Bromley to Braintree, Met Police. So yeah, from going from park football to that. And then I just thrived from there, really. I was there for 3 years and yeah, it just accelerated from there, really.
Obviously, last season, I think you had relative success in your managerial role. Do you want to sort of expand on that?
Yeah, so with Worplesdon, I had a couple of good years there. Obviously, it was a bit stop-start with COVID, sorry to bring it up. But yeah, our first year, we pretty much completed it and then we won the league on, they'd done the points per game. So we did actually land up winning the league through that, although it wasn't technically fixtures played out. And then the second season, we'd really built the team then. That first year was a bit of a regroup, restructured a club because a lot of players left. And then the second year, we were brand new. Mark Watkins come in. It was massive. And he really come in with a great attitude. And he was there before I was there. And yeah, we just hit the ground running. The change room was good. There wasn't too much movement. And yeah, we just obviously kicked on. And I think in the league, we played 7-1-7, scored something like 44 goals and didn't concede or, yeah, off the top of my head, something like that. So, and we won a cup game as well. And then obviously it all got stopped. And yeah, it was a massive shame.
Yeah, massive shame the season did get cancelled because we saw the stats, no goals conceded, all wins. What kind of style is that then? Is it, would people think clean sheets first, but then you're still trying to score goals because obviously 44 goals. What would your managerial style be?
Yeah, so I would say, first and foremost, I always set a team out to be hard to beat. Wouldn't necessarily be a style. Obviously, at this level, a lot of it is mentality. You can come up against a team that you know you're better than them, but they could be a group of lads that are really up for it and catch you on an off day. So the main thing for me is getting the mentality right and being hard to beat. And yeah, just making sure the boys are switched on and, you know, good to go every week instead of thinking, oh, we're top of the league and just rocking up and we can beat them. Because in our first year, I think our first 10 games, we went unbeaten and then we couldn't win a game for 5 or 6 because we were just rocking up to a game thinking we were going to win. And then teams are like, they're the team to beat. And it gave them that extra edge. And yeah, so that's the main thing for me, really. Be hard to beat. Obviously, make sure the core of the team is strong. And yeah, make sure you've got a good base to build from. And then everything else sort of falls into place if everyone's doing their jobs.
Yeah, brilliant. And you mentioned there that hardness of trying to pick the players up week in, week out, to then to keep on trying if they think they're that good. How hard is that to motivate the players each week?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I do have a really good bunch. A fair few of them have been with me for a few years now. So they know the score and they're winners that they want to win in themselves. So I am quite lucky, as much as, you know, we try and give them as much as we can and make sure the prep's well and make sure we get a good warm-up in. They are a good bunch and they do naturally want to win themselves. So it does make my job a little bit easier.
Would you say coming across a few non-league teams that you wouldn't usually get that, and that, well, either your old job's just been quite blessing, and even at Dials Square now, that it's quite blessing you've got these players with that right mentality?
Yeah, 100%, because obviously, you know, I've come across loads of players over my time. And generally, I don't know whether it's my style, me as a person, I've never really had too many bad fallouts with players. You know, obviously players have come and gone for different reasons. Yeah, one or two you've had a little bit of a hoo-ha with, but generally I've been lucky. Most lads seem to enjoy it, playing for me and the management team, whether it was with Jamie last year, obviously with Richard Keown before, who's obviously come on board with us this year. So yeah, generally been really lucky in that sense, just to have general good lads.
Yeah, it's definitely a great add-in to the team. In terms of the dressing room then at the moment for Dials Square, would you say it's a good dressing room? Everyone's getting on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've got a WhatsApp group going on. We've only played one game so far, which was a bit of a bonus game. Our actual proper pre-season starts tomorrow. But yeah, considering you sort of threw batches of 3 or 4 lads together and put them in one group, the vibes have been really good. Everyone's been quite positive. Everyone's got on. The banter's been good. And considering a lot of lads never even met each other, and then to hit the ground running in a game that we only had 2 games to prep for and never done a session, and to win against a team in the league above us, was that's really brought that together straight away. So, yeah, looking forward to just getting cracking now. It's been a long sort of month coming in, and, you know, I went from Wolverston to a settled side to having the summer off to getting to work and networking and, you know, building a decent side, which hopefully we've managed to do. But yeah, a lot of hard work's gone in all round, really.
Yeah, brilliant. It does seem like hard work indeed. And we've heard about that. We're going to now let's touch on all Dials Square from now.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that a different summer to usual. You're thinking in a relaxed position, you just got promoted, but then you get the call. You're asking, do you want to come to Dials Square? I heard a bit of convincing to come, but in the end, you thought you couldn't turn it down. What made you come?
So obviously, I met John and Stu, funnily enough, with Jamie, actually, who stayed at Wolverston. And yeah, they just completely blew us away with the plans, everything they've got in place, how much they've been mucked around in the past. And yeah, just the general work that they've put in and where they want to go is the main thing. And they've got good people behind the scenes. They've got a good fan base. It's forever growing, considering they've only played 6 or 7 games in their history. And it was just, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to do managing for, like you say, with the young kids and that. I just thought it's too much of an exciting opportunity not to give it a go and, you know, try and write that first bit of history for them. And if they do kick on, or if we do kick on to be an AFC Wimbledon, be a FC United, to write that first bit of history, I just... yeah, it was too good to step away from.
Yeah, so obviously let's move on in terms of sort of your plans for this season. Obviously, we got the pre-season starting that you've just touched on. So what were your sort of aims for pre-season? Is it just fitness? Is it like squad building? Is it morale? What sort of do you want to get from pre-season?
Yeah, so obviously fitness will come into it. Like I say, it's been a very stop start, 18 months. So hopefully we can, you know, get some real good sessions in. Keown is a great coach, which I'm really lucky to have him on board. And he knows a lot of the boys really well. So they know the score of him. He'll work them hard, but he'll make it fun. It's not just going to be running. Like the squad's come together now, although there's still signings to be announced. Which obviously it's hard work for Stu to keep doing that all the time. The players are there now. So we're in good hands. We've got a good squad, a good bunch of lads. Pre-season's a bit mixed. I'd probably prefer a few tougher games, but with higher leagues starting so early now, it was hard to get tougher games. And like I said, there's no disrespect to teams we're playing. It's just for pre-season, I'd rather play teams, you know, two or three leagues higher than teams in and around us. But yeah, it is what it is this year with everyone wanting to start early because there's been so less football that, yeah, we've got what we've got. And yeah, just really excited to get going now. It's been such a big build-up to it that we're all just ready to go. But then you don't want pre-season dragging on too long. And then by the time the first game comes, you're a bit blown out by it. So yeah, it's been a bit of a waiting game, but we're nearly there now.
When you sort of came in, what did you sort of see in the squad that was already here? And then sort of what did you sort of feel you needed to add? And you obviously made quite a few signings already. How do you sort of analyse the signings you've made? Are you happy with those players? Do you know those players sort of that you've brought in?
Yeah, so in regards to players that were there, obviously I spoke to Stu, the chairman, John, who's the secretary. They had a coach helping them out called Mo Shah, which I spoke to him. And I spoke to Matt Day, who was the captain of last year. So I had a list of, say, 12 players. And I spoke to each of them four individually on the phone about the squads. And every time a name got brought up, I sort of tallied a chart up. And there was only five or six players that kept coming up. So unfortunately, sorry to the lads that have left, you know, thanks for everything that they've done last season. But I knew I had a crop of players coming in. And for want of another phrase, I didn't want to waste time on lads that can go and find other clubs when I've already got a team geared up to come in that's experienced, tried and trusted at that level. And, you know, I trust them to... So, yeah, five or six of them have got a chance. They've got an opportunity. Three of them played the other night. A couple have got niggling injuries, and because it was a midweek, a couple had to work. But, yeah, they'll get a crack at it. It's a fresh start for everyone. You know, there's no favourites. You know, even though players have come in and they've played for me before, if new players want to come in or old players are there and they step up to the plate, then they're in. It's simple as that.
Is there sort of a number of players more that you want to bring in? Is there sort of positions that you still feel need strengthening in your squad?
I'd never turn away a good player, so there's always room for improvement. But yeah, I'd say we're there or thereabouts without seeing more games and seeing the lads that were there last season a bit more, like two or three of them, like I said, I haven't even met yet. I've only spoken to them over the phone. So yeah, I'd probably say more mid-August. I'd know more where we're at for now. It's just a case of getting the squad together. I want to keep us a tight unit. I don't want us to have like 25 players down at training and then trim the squad down at the end of August. I want to put the trust into the players now and hit the ground running. So we're going to try and keep it to sort of 18 to 20. We might lose one or two by the first game of the season. But yeah, really just want to concentrate on keeping it a tight unit all together. Everyone there sort of week in, week out where they can. And yeah, go from there really. But so far, so good. I've been really lucky. I thank all the players that have come on board and Stu and John for helping out on that side as well. And Mo, to be fair to him, when he was there helping them through. So yeah, it's exciting. It's really good.
So then talking then about the signings that have been made since you coming in, we'll start with the two main strikers then. I think 20 goals each last season under yourself, Nick and Mark. I'm going to talk and describe them to the fans. What can they bring to the team?
Yeah, so Mark can play numerous positions, outstanding player, good with the ball at his feet. He can take on a player, whipping across, cut inside and get shots off. He's not selfish, so even though he scored 20 goals, I know he's told me numerous times, but I know he's got numerous assists as well. So he's an all-round team player. Wouldn't say he gets back as much as what he should, but can't complain when you're assisting and scoring, because you know that they're hard to come by at any level. So to have two at this level in one team is superb. And as for Nick was with me when I was at Napier. Then I took a bit of a break, so did he, And then we came back together at Worplesdon. And he's just a lad who's always sniffing out goals. I wouldn't say he's technically the greatest player you're going to see, but boy, he'll work hard. He'll be down on defenders, breathing down their necks, chasing loose balls. And over the time when I was at Knapphill, he was probably a bit more selfish and a bit younger. But now he's become a real team player. And, you know, you'll hear him geeing up the boys, and he really leads from the front. And like I said, when I done my quote to him, he rarely goes at a game without scoring a goal, which is a massive credit to him. I can't really big him up enough for that, because goals wins games at the end of the day, and he's a match winner.
Yeah, goals win games indeed. So I think it was 20 in 13 games for both of them last season. You talked about assists. I think Mark got 6 assists under yourself last year. So that's 13 games for a striker. You're banging in 20 goals. Big expectations now for us as fans going into next year. Hopefully they'll be scoring loads for us as well. Talked about Knapphill. You signed Jack as well from Knapphill. So you would have seen him before from Knapphill. I think you wanted to sign him before other clubs as well, but you've got him here at Dial Square. What about that signing?
Yeah, Jack's a great player. He's a hard tackling defender. He can play centre half and left back, which at any level to have sort of utility at the back is really good. He can drive forward. He can get crosses in. And he's just, yeah, generally a good, hard-working, you know, you're going to get 8 out of 10 out of him minimum every week. And, yeah, just a solid defender that, yeah, no nonsense, but can play, which is great as well.
Yeah, well, that versatility must be helpful, especially with that smaller squad. As you said, around 18 players. Like how useful would that be? And what position do you think we'll be seeing him for that first maybe pre-season game? And then going into the actual season ahead, do you think, either centre-back or as a full-back?
Yeah, so he'll mainly be playing at full-back, yeah, be at left-back, mainly because he's energetic, he can get up and down the line. Yeah, he needs a bit of fitness at the moment, but that will come with games and training. Naturally fit lad, so yeah, with potentially Watto on the left, it's good to have a player that will get up and down and support him and also have his back in as well, because sometimes he can be 2-on-1, and I know Jack will probably still come out the winner.
Brilliant. Hopefully he will do. Matt Dexter, then midfielder, signed him as well. How's he looking?
Yeah, so Matt, he was a bit in and out with us at Worplesdon. I actually worked with Matt. So, he's a good lad. He's more of a CDM. He'll come in, which you need. He'll do the ugly stuff, win your headers, win your tackles. Again, but he can play as well. He'll look to get the ball down, and he won't just want to hit the ball into channels. He'll want to get on the triangles. He'll want to get on the ball as much as he can and hold possession as well. So, yeah, another good sign-in, a solid player for that level. He's played higher. He was at Godalming last year, Godalming Town. So, yeah, he's dropped a couple of leagues to come and play for us because, again, he's excited about the project and wants to see where it can go. So, yeah, another good signing and, a solid player in that position.
So, yeah, would you say this draw of all these players coming down and playing for us, is that due to maybe the amazing management that you are and the manager, they want to play under you? Or are they seeing this vision? Do they really believe that we could be going up league after league in the next few seasons?
Yeah, I want to say a bit of both. Obviously, with this level, players tend to sort of follow managers because they put trust in them. I'm not saying all managers, I'm not saying everyone will trust me, but the lads I feel that have come down, they've got trust in me. They know that I've built good sides before and they believe in that. And then obviously, me personally, attracting them to come is selling the club to them, which for me is an easy sell. It's got everything going for it. You know, it's got the attire. They play Abbey 4G, which is nice. They want to build their own ground in time. Everything about all that. And so do the fans. So, yeah, it really has got potential. They just need to get the football side right now. Like last year, I think we can pretty much write it off and just everyone take this as a fresh start, try and get some numbers down to support the lads and, yeah, really kick on this year and just sort of use last year as a bit of a test for this year, really.
Yeah, hopefully we will do kick on. And to kick on, you need a good, solid keeper. And I think it was announced today, we're recording on the Tuesday, that Zach Ward signed for us as well as the new keeper. No goals conceded last year. What a sign-in. Hopefully we'll be able to do the same this year.
Yeah, well, that'll be the plan. But yeah, not as easy, especially if we do get a full season in. Who knows what would have happened last season if we did get the full season in. But yeah, a massive signing. Any team in any level needs a good goalkeeper. We've also got Ben. Ben's come back, so he's part of the squad as well. So there's competition there. So yeah, Zach coming in is massive. Like I say, any level to have a good number one and to have potentially two goalkeepers battling it out is really good and exciting for the club. So yeah, and yeah, he brings experience. Even though he's a young lad, he's 25. You know, he's played a lot of football, and yeah, I think he'll thrive under us and only grow to get bigger and better.
Great. Hopefully he does. Playing devil's advocate though, after solid defence from you guys last year, how did you see his talent? Because wouldn't have got tested as much as with a great defensive record as you had at Phoenix. How have you seen his ability and what shines for him?
Well, like I say, every side needs a good goalkeeper. So he is very much regarded as much as the back four to them clean sheets. He deserved them as much. Some of the saves he pulled off. And, you know, you still have set pieces, so corners, free kicks coming in. If you've got a keeper that just takes all the pressure off, catches the ball cleanly and gets you on the counter-attack, which is what he does. We played the other night and his kicking looked a lot more on point. That was a bit of a weakness of his last year. So if he's worked on that as well, that's only going to help us as well, because any keeper that's got a weapon of a kick that can get you forward and up the pitch from catching the ball from their hands is, really good asset to have. So, yeah, as much as the back four was good last year, Zach and Arf, you know, deserve credit from that as well, because he made some top saves to earn himself a pat on the back and get them clean sheets as well.
Brilliant. And that signing was today. I think two more will be announced this week. One might become before the podcast comes out. So we're looking forward to them. But they are still, you know them already. They're already in the squad. Yeah. We're just delaying the announcement.
Do you need to know your fixed squad almost for that first game? Or is it just going to be a case of being flexible and almost sort of giving every player a go before that?
Yeah, so with pre-season, everyone will get a fair crack, a fair go. The last, I think we've got six pre-season games, is that right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last two, you might sort of see a bit more of the main 11 getting more of an hour. You know, the first sort of four games, it'll be a case of getting everyone 45 minutes to an hour just to get minutes and getting back out there, because, you know, people like Matt Day, he hasn't played since November last year. So he needs game time to be able to prove that he's still got it in him, because obviously I don't know him. He played well the other night. He scored a goal and got an assist. But again, he only played 45 minutes. So it's a 90-minute game, isn't it? So yeah, it's going to be a case of getting the fitness right, giving everyone a fair crack. And then I think the last two games will sort of either say thanks but no thanks to a couple, or, you know, we're going to go with the lot, and it's just going to be a case of everyone's battling it out for places. And if people aren't prepared to do that, then it's up to them.
What are your sort of aims for the actual season itself? Is it promotion? Is it winning the title?
Yeah, it has to be. The bread and butter of winning the league. Like, Dial Square, too big to be at this level. It's not going to be easy, because, you know, at previous clubs I've been at, it's taken me at least a season to build. It's not just necessarily getting 11 players together, it's doing it for each other and having a team spirit and, you know, wanting to work for that teammate. And you can't just go out and play for yourself and be your own person and do your own job, because, yeah, you'll get away with that in some games, but some games when you've got to grab a game by the scruff of the neck, so I'd say you need a team spirit. So that's what we've got to build over the pre-season mainly, is having a changing room, you know, maybe getting a couple of socials in, you know, because generally lads nowadays, they keep themselves fit, they're in the gym, they go for road runs, they look after themselves. So it's just going to be a case of, yeah, getting the rust off and, building a changing room and a team spirit. That's what we've got to do now.
How important do you think the fans are going to be this season in sort of your quest for promotion? Obviously, we have got a very established fan base already for such a new club. How important are they going to be?
Yeah, massive. That's one of the big things that sort of made me come over, as much as the setup of the club, you know, having that behind you as well. And hopefully as we win games, it'll only get bigger. You know, unfortunately, last year it was a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, I was in the same league as them, and I think a few things were sort of said before a ball was kicked, and it sort of got other teams' backs up, where this year we've just got to let the football do the talking, get them enjoying watching it, and then hopefully the word gets around and we get a few more in. But I know for a fact that the boys are buzzing for it. I think Nick's going to do a crowd surf after his first goal. So, it's like I said, it's going to be exciting. Like, the boys are all over it. you know, unfortunately, I'm not out there playing, but I know, looking forward to having a beer with them in the bar after 3 points.
And then we kind of put out a few sort of questions for fans that they can obviously get involved with in this podcast. We've got a few questions here. If you had to compare your management style to any Premier League or top flight manager, who would it be and why?
Okay. So, yeah, I suppose, God, it's hard to compare yourself to the elite. But, I suppose I'd probably say a bit like a Klopp or a Brendan Rodgers. Wouldn't go as far as Pep. I think he's out there on his own. Obviously, Klopp and Brendan Rodgers are great managers. But, yeah, just sort of hard to beat with explosive pace going forward. You know, a front three that can score goals, tend to go with a midfield three, which both of them do. Yeah, and a solid base. So, yeah, probably a Klopp or a Brendan Rodgers, hopefully one day, eh?
Extending on that, there's actually another question from the Dial Square Supporters Club. Do you prefer a counter-based 5-4-1 or a chilly 3-4-3 high-pressure football? And being you're a Chelsea fan, do you prefer the Jose Mourinho tactics?
No, definitely not Jose Mourinho. No, he's in the bin now, so no, not him. Yeah, I'd probably say I'd be a little bit more 5-4-1 that breaks into a 4-3-3. So, yeah, probably a bit more defensive than what you probably want to hear, but let's keep what we've got, keep the base, keep the clean sheet. And I know for a fact with people like Mark, Nick, a few other lads to come in, obviously I don't want to mention all the names, there's going to be goals, so that doesn't really worry me. The main thing is we don't concede, we don't lose. And then, the front three to five go and express themselves when we get the ball back.
And then the last question is just from Martin. You've kind of briefly touched on some of this. It's been quite a big squad rebuild. Have you found that process, and what position did you find hardest to like find the right player for?
Yeah, so I've been really lucky. Most of the people I sort of spoke to, I just phoned up for an original chat just to see where they would be and how they would feel. And when I sort of spoke to them about the club and, you know, what is attractive to it, it sort of sold itself. So, yeah, they sort of got me. And then obviously I managed to get Keown in, who's a great coach and well-respected. He's come down from quite a high level, just because he's got things going on, so he can't commit to that level because it's a lot of travelling. So, it was quite, I'm not going to say easy because it's been hard work, but in regards to actual initial conversations, it's been relatively easy. They've all been keen to come on board. A couple have played hardball, but they played the other night, really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, as long as we get that team spirit going, I don't think anyone's going to wonder. So, yeah, it's down to me and Keown now to get the boys playing well and enjoying it so they don't look elsewhere.
And that is the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on, Simon. We appreciate your time, and I'm sure the fans will appreciate listening to this and wish you all the best for the season.
Yeah, cheers, Adam. Cheers, Chris. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Simon.
Nice to meet you. Take care, guys.